Thank you for joining us as we celebrate the birth of our Lord. And I'm thankful that you can be with us through these means, whether you're unable to leave home because of some type of limitation or concern over COVID, or whether you have other obligations this evening, maybe family or friends coming over. I'm thankful that we have this way to be being together. Thankful for Jonathan for filming and editing and having this set to be able to be put out during Christmas Eve. But as we're here together, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, O Lord, for the gift of your Son. Father, thank you for your love for us and your desire to save us, to reconcile us unto yourself. Lord, to adopt us as your children. Father, as we have these moments together during this season, Father, turn our minds and our hearts back to you. Father, we thank you for all the ways and joy and fun that we have through this season. But, oh Lord God, in this time, turn our hearts, oh Lord, back to you. And remind us, oh God, that the very core of this celebration is to be a celebration of the gift of your Son to be our Savior. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Well, I hope that you are enjoying this Christmas season and that you will have a wonderful Christmas day. I hope it's full of love and joy and food and activities and all the things that you enjoy doing. And I have to admit, my favorite part is the gift giving. I like the giving actually more than the receiving. I love trying to brainstorm what gift to give someone, purchasing it, finding it, hiding it, remembering where I hid it. I really enjoy tormenting Jane and Remington about what it is, and I get more excited about watching them open their gift or gifts on Christmas morning. They actually get opening my own, and especially, you know, when it seems like I was really able to give the perfect gift for them or for whomever else is being given to. And yet the reality is, no matter how much I may have tried to do that or you may have tried to do that, the reality is we can't give the perfect gift. And the reason for that is very simple. That is that the perfect gift has already been given. That is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Think with me as we look this evening at Galatians chapter 4, and listen to verses 4 through 5 as it describes our Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we remember as the perfect gift. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. In those two very short verses, we see the perfection of Jesus Christ. We see how he is truly the perfect gift, how he's the Father's perfect gift to us. As we look at these verses, you think about the perfection of our Lord as it's described here. We see, first of all, that he was perfect in time. Again, the very first part of verse 4, but when the fullness of time came, that meant when the time was right, when the time was perfect, when the time was full. If you look at history, historians do this, Bible scholars do this, you could not have found a better time and place for the Messiah to come than in the first century. There to the people of Israel, obviously to them, fulfillment of prophecy, but in that perfect time. You look at it as the perfect time politically, because Rome was the dominant world empire, and Rome had complete control. Rome, there was the peace of Rome, as brutal as Rome was, and we're certainly not trying to glorify it, it was a period of unequal stability in the history of the known world up to that point. Later on, when Paul would go on his missionary journeys, it would be on Roman roads. When he would take a ship, it would be Roman shipping lanes. It was perfect politically. It was the time was perfect culturally. Before Rome was obviously the Empire of Greece and the Greek philosophy, the Greek society, the Greek culture. It spread throughout that known world, particularly with the Greek language. That language that was so precise, that language that the Holy Spirit would use to inspire the New Testament so that we would know exactly what God was trying to tell us. It was perfect politically. The time was perfect culturally. The time was perfect religiously. When you think about what had happened to the nation of Israel, how they had been dispersed all over the known world, as they sought to be still true and faithful unto the Lord, wherever you would have a city where you had 10 Jewish men present, they would start a synagogue. So throughout the known world, you had these pockets of individuals who had the truth of God's word and who proclaimed the truth of God's word. Whenever Paul would go on his missionary journeys, you think, where would he always go first? Always to the synagogue. That place where no matter how dark the culture was, there was in fact the light of God's word. It was in fact the perfect time. On Sunday mornings, before we had began looking at the messages for Christmas, we've been looking at the book of Daniel. And obviously the prophecies there from Daniel's time, looking forward and even ahead of where we are. But you think about the empires that would rise and fall. None of that was by happenstance. That was God directly orchestrating the world so that it would be just right for the sending of his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the perfect gift, was perfect in time. But he was also perfect in his person. Again, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Jesus Christ, perfect in his person. Makes it very clear, his Son, Jesus Christ, is the only begotten Son of God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God in every way. And yet, by being born of a virgin, he became a man in every way. Still in John 1, you go down to verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All God, all man. Perfect as God, perfect as a man. No less God because he became man, no less man because he was God. Perfect in his person. But we also see that he was perfect in his purpose. That is why he came. But when the fullness of the time came, there's that perfection of time. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. There's the perfection of his person. Born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law. God became man to do what man cannot do. God became man to do what we cannot do. God became man to live the perfect life, which we cannot do. We're born as sinners with sin nature. We willingly commit acts of sin. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, born with a perfect nature, and did not commit a single act of sin. And for that purpose, he fulfilled the law so that he could, in fact, take the penalty of the law for us. He became man for the sole purpose of going to the cross, dying and rising again for our sins. Which is why it's so appropriate in a few moments that we observe the Lord's Supper during this service. What better way to remember the purpose of our Lord's coming but to die on the cross for our sins? Perfect in his purpose. He came for the sole purpose of dying and rising again for us. But not only was he perfect in time, in his person, and in his purpose, he was perfect in his fulfillment. That is what he brought about by his death, burial, and resurrection for those who believe. The very last part of verse 5, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. Jesus Christ did not just die and rise again so that our sins would be cleansed, as wonderful as that would be. Eternity would not be enough to praise him for that. He did not die and rise again just so we could go to be in heaven with him, as wonderful as that would be. And again, eternity would not be enough to praise him for that. He died and rose again to reconcile us unto himself, in fact, to adopt us as God's dear children. You think about that. God gave his only begotten Son so that through him we could become his dearly beloved, chosen, adopted children. His life, death, and resurrection as the Son of God made it possible for you and I to become God's children. He was perfect in his fulfillment. You may have had the experience where you gave a gift or someone gave you a gift, and all the advertising hype was that this thing was supposed to do whatever it is, better than anything that's ever done before, absolutely perfect. And yet you find you get it, you use it, the person uses it, and it never quite accomplishes what it's supposed to accomplish, not Jesus Christ. Through him, every sin is forgiven. Through him, we're reconciled unto God. Through him, we are in fact made God's children. That's why he is the perfect gift. But you know, like any gift, it has to be accepted for it to truly go from one individual to another. You may have a perfect gift for some reason, and for whatever reason, they decline it. Or, and I'm saying this theoretically, of course, or someone might want to give you a gift, you decline it. Perfect gift, but it doesn't do anything for you. It cannot be applied to you. So too with Jesus Christ. God has sent his Son. But only by accepting him, by placing your faith and trust in him, is the wonderful personal experience of that fulfillment made real in your heart and in your life. Have you ever accepted God's perfect gift of salvation through Jesus Christ by trusting him as your Lord and Savior? We can probably all look back on very memorable Christmas gifts that we were given, ones that either meant a tremendous sacrifice on the part of the one who gave them to us, and nothing's ever been more of a sacrifice than Jesus Christ. Or maybe because of who gave it to us, it has deep sentimental value, even though it might not monetarily be worth anything. You think about the fact that you had to actually accept that gift. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ? The most wonderful gift is available. But you need to put your trust in him. Believe that he died and rose again for you. Ask him to be your Savior and surrender to him as Lord. If you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this time of the year, this season, this holidays, when we need to remember God's wonderful gift, given by his love, and how it ought to motivate us to love, worship, and honor him. And as we come together for this service, to remember what the Father has given to us, there's no better way for us to do that than through the Lord's Supper. And so if you will join with me, and I hope that you call the church office and have someone bring you a prepackaged Lord's Supper, I want us to take this now together. And I want us, in case you've never done this, you may have done it before, before we begin to get into it, just let me remind you, as you hold the elements, both of the elements are there, the wafer, the bread is on top, and of course the cup is underneath. The very top layer of the clear plastic, once you peel that back in a moment, there will be the wafer. Then after we have taken that, you peel back the next layer, and that then exposes the cup. And I want us to partake of the Lord's Supper together. But as we come to this, let's prepare our hearts by going to him in prayer again. Father, again, we thank you, O Lord, for the gift of your Son, our Savior. And Father, while this time of the year is so fun, it's so enjoyable, it's so exciting, Father, we love to give gifts, and Father, we love gifts that we receive. But Father, may we, O God, remember the most important gift. And O God, in this time, may we take the time to stop and to worship and to praise and to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you'll take your elements with me, and again, if you will peel back that very top layer that exposes the wafer that is there. And as you take it and hold it, I want you to think about it for a moment. This represents the body of our Lord. Again, God became man so that he could go to the cross for our sins. As our Lord would instruct his disciples to then instruct us, as they partook of the Lord's Supper that evening, that very first time, as he broke the bread and gave it to them, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, if you will peel back the next layer that exposes remember that this represents the blood of our Lord. The Bible makes it clear that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And our Lord came for the purpose of shedding His blood to cover our sin. As He told the disciples that night, He said, "This cup is the new covenant written in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Father, thank you, O God, for the gift of your Son. And, O Lord, as we go through all the fun and the joy of this season, may it most of all be a time of worship for us. Thank you, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you do have a merry and wonderful Christmas, and most of all, a Christ-filled